is it?
Yes. We're good. We're good to go.
Okay. All right. I'm calling this meeting to order. This is the Parks and Recreation Committee special session. This is Tuesday, January 30th, 2018. Time is 5:34. And the meeting is called to order by me, Chairman Cato Daly. And I'd like roll call, please. Kaylin Cummins, Vice Chair.
Present.
Lucci Giacomino, absent. Peyton Dean, present. And I'd like to welcome our new member, Jane Gaffer.
Welcome, Jane.
And Jane is present.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And Council Liaison, Gabe Lindstrom, absent. And City Liaison, Andy Heratic.
Didn't he call this meeting?
Andy Heratic.
I am all here.
All right. Okay, we do have a quorum.
Because I'm not a member. I'm just a liaison. So I don't get to sit with y'all.
But he does do all the talking. He's way over there.
I'll turn around then.
We ready?
Yeah. Okay, we do not have any minutes to review, as this is a special session, and we'll do the minutes at our next regular meeting, which will be in February. New business, discussion on update of volleyball court. Andy?
It looks like in about 2 weeks we will be starting the volleyball court in Old Bisbee. On the volleyball court, I also want to talk about the volleyball court on the Vista. Peyton, is all I really have to do to make that volleyball court viable is to put a fence around it?
Maybe not even around it, just on the
downhill side of it. Okay.
It wouldn't even need to be a huge chain link fence. Maybe just something.
Well, would like a
ball is tennis to
like a 3-footer or a 4-footer at the edge of the park, sort of, Peyton. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, so the volleyball court up in Old Bisbee, in about 2 weeks we'll start on that project.
Which will be where?
Which will be up in Garfield Park, in the top part of Garfield Park. We have an area up there that is not very well used. So we want to turn it into a regulation volleyball court. And we also want to, I'm going to bring water up there as well so they have a water fountain. So we want to, anyway, we're going to start that in about 2 weeks.
And you already do have the parking area all.
Yep, I have parking area. All that street was paved. We've established some, you know, 3 or 4 little parking bays over there. I don't think we're going to get parking in the park. We'll have a place for maybe a bike rack or something like that, but we won't really have a place in the park to put any cars.
But their space is just on the outside.
Yeah,
of the park.
Cato, those are all paved and good to go.
Excellent.
Yeah, we actually created additional parking up there.
So what else is going on there? You're going to put the water fountain in, you're going to put a fence on the downhill side?
No, I'll get to the fence on the downhill side. That fence is completely, it's completely fenced in, Cato. That fence is about 12, 14, 15 feet high. I do have to do a good amount of tree trimming on some of those trees. I've got a lot of deadwood in them, and we're just going to give them a little shape. They've never really been pruned or shaped very well. And they're going to be a little bit in the way, but we don't have to lose any of those evergreen trees that are up in that park. So I'll have to do a little tree trimming. But Cato, I'm going to get to the fence on the other park when we get down to the discussion on donations for upgrades.
Okay. So all right. So let me just get clear. This fence on the downhill side, that's not an upgrade that is for this volleyball court.
No. It was a
volley. That's for the Vista. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay. Vista Park. And that's to be. Okay. What else? Tree trimming, water fountain. What else?
And we've got a plan. We sat down with Peyton. We did a plan for the park. So the plan's on the board. And we're just going to turn the net a different direction than it is currently turned. We're going to take it from this direction to this direction. Right. But we're turning it a different direction, taking out some of that concrete. We'll be bringing in, you know, we'll be working with that soil, bringing in new sand.
Wow. Okay. So you're going to put in some new sand on the on the playing area.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing these improvements with our own money, with the money that we had budgeted in parks.
Excuse me for just a minute. Can you grab that microphone, please, Peyton? So that This is being recorded, I'm assuming.
It is. Oh, yeah, Peyton, whatever, we should get you.
I lost my train of thought. It's a pretty minimal labor, from what I understand. It's mostly just removal of the concrete is the majority of the labor, and we have people for that already.
Yeah, I'm gonna rent a walk-behind saw cutter so I can cut that concrete a little easier. And I don't think that the park will take more than 8 days from start to finish. I think I can get that whole thing done in 8 days. So it's 2 work weeks.
Okay, well, that's good news. I've started to have people ask me about it.
So yeah.
It'll be nice to give them.
Yeah, Peyton, and that's what it looks like, that in 2 weeks we will be starting that park. And it may be a little sooner, but let me tell you 2 weeks. That way I will meet everyone's expectations.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is there going to be an inaugural game?
I have to discuss with all the people.
That's right.
Something that would be wonderful to do, perhaps, is to let Laura Swan at the Observer know.
Okay, no, that would be because she was involved from the beginning, actually,
when
it first became an issue.
Okay, yeah, so that would be great to let the community know that there's this new volleyball court that's been created by the city that addressed a need.
Mm-hmm.
So, great, wonderful, thank you. Anything else? Anybody? Okay. Item number 2, this is discussion on the update of solar panels for the pool. Andy.
So HeliCorp showed up. They were only 30 minutes late. That's not much, considering they had to come all the way from Phoenix. I was pretty impressed. And they left today. They did not contact me to tell me that they were finished, but this was supposed to be the last day of the project. So I've not talked with HeliCorp today, but Kaylin did report that they pulled out around noon, 11 or noon or so?
I don't know. I got home about 2:30.
Oh, 2:30 and they were gone. Okay. So I don't really have much to tell you, except I believe the job is finished, but I don't know that for a fact. I'm only hoping. And tomorrow when I go up to look at it.
So this means that flip the switch?
Yeah.
And but do you need to have the county okay this?
Everything's been okayed.
Okay.
To the best of my knowledge, I didn't get a chance to call Tom. The pool is hooked up and running, and the solar panels have been working all day. Now, I'm telling you that without actually knowing that is really what happened. I think that's what happened, but I am as anxious as you are to know. I don't have the truth for you. I only have what I hope for.
Great. Okay. I'm going to try that tomorrow.
Okay, Cato.
Great. Well, again, thank you so much for your perseverance on that. That's just been an unfortunate process.
But it got worked out. We have as-built drawings now of the pool. Everybody's approved everything. County Health Department's approved it. We're in good standing.
Okay. And so then your plan is to run the panels to see how it does heating the water?
Cato, I asked Tom to put as soon as the panels were running, I asked him to put the solar blanket back on the pool.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, it's going to be really warm.
I want to see how warm we get at the coldest point of the year. You know, what we're looking for are the extremes on either side, the coldest and the warmest. And that's what I shoot for, is I want to know how well it works in the coldest conditions and what it's like when it's performing full on in the warmest time of the year, because I believe there'll be a point where it's going to be too warm. But I'm excited about it on both ends. So in a couple of days.
You know, the unfortunate, go ahead.
Well, the Friends of the Bisbee Pool are waiting to see if, you know, things go well with the solar panels, because we are getting ready to start our next fundraiser. So
yeah.
I'll get in touch with you in the next few, next Monday or Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah, Kaylin. So what we're looking for is an early morning steam off of the pool. And if we see that early morning steam, then we will know that the water reached, that the water is warmer than the ambient temperature, and then we will know that we've exceeded even in the cold months.
But
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but Cato, it could.
But if the blanket's on, how are you going to see the steam?
Because it'll come up off the end. You'll see it early in the morning. There'll be a steam that comes up because the water in the pool is so much warmer than the outside air that it will actually find Cato. It'll be really fun if it happens. I'm so excited. I hope it really happens.
Get your camera out.
I mean.
I'm going in.
If you see it, everybody call me or take a picture, because what if it really happened and it really worked? I mean, you know, Peter worked really hard on this. I want you to know. He really oversized this thing. Peter von Gunlock worked with us, Jane, on the solar heaters for that pool. Mm-hmm. And he worked really hard on finding the right company and getting the right product. So.
Okay.
So we're hopeful.
Yeah, we're really hopeful.
Can I ask a couple of really dumb questions?
Of course.
Yeah.
No, and please ask him to talk to the microphone.
Why is it necessary to know how well it works in the winter when we're not thinking of going in there till May?
Because then I can get a baseline for, then we'll have a baseline. If we know how well it works in the cold weather, that will determine how soon we can open the pool. So if that pool warms up in this cold weather, that means if we want to open the season early, we're really going to know how warm that water is going to be. So knowing how the pool works in cold weather will determine how early and how late the pool actually operates and stays open.
So in the future, the panels won't be working until, I would assume, until you know it takes a month for the water to heat up to be ready to go swimming in the beginning of May. So you would turn the panels on in the beginning of April.
And then Jane, I have a feeling that in July, we'll probably be turning the panels off because the water will be too warm. So I'm thinking that the panels will probably, you know, that we'll be, I'm really thinking that it'll be, the pool won't be refreshing once we get up to too warm of a temperature, and people are going, yeah, the water's nice, but it's really warm. We oversized the system to try and accommodate us at the more difficult times of the year, which was the colder times, so we could extend the season. So we wanted to start earlier, maybe 2 months, and we wanted to finish later, maybe 2 months. We were at one point talking that if we could keep the pool open till October, but we've never been in a situation where after September, we could even dream of keeping the pool open because the water just got too cold too fast.
So, go ahead, please.
Another question.
Yes, and then Mike.
Sorry. How is it, who should I be asking? I mean, is it, how does it run? Is it the sort of system that the water goes up and is...
Yeah, it's powered off the pool circulation pump.
Okay.
That's where the health department regulations became really stifling, because we have to run all that additional water through the solar panels, but we still had to push enough water through the body of the pool to meet the standards by the health department. That's why this took so long, and that's what held us up on the engineering, is that these solar panels actually had to be stamped by an engineer to prove to the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality, which dictates our water quality, that we could circulate the pool water in a certain amount of time, because we added so many solar panels on the pool. So in all this upgrades that we made in the pool on the electrical and the pumping system, it was all to get us not only to the 20th century, but also to a point where we could accommodate this huge solar array, water solar array that we put up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, one thing that I think, just to keep in mind, is certainly this is a very warm winter, and who knows if next winter is going to be like that, but it might be, you know, just keep that in mind, because we may not have these kind of temperatures, say, in, you know, April. It might be cold and overcast, so it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, just a learning curve to be able to know when to turn those things on. So the other thing that we all as a committee need to recognize is that these solar panels are terrific. But what it means, though, is it means that the pool is open on the months that the city is not budgeted to run the pool. And so then it falls on the community's responsibility to fund the positions for the pool, the lifeguards, head lifeguard or pool manager, whatever you want to call this person, to pay for that, those months that the city has not budgeted for. And the city's budgeted to have the pool open on June and July. So the Friends of the Bisbee Pool is a community organization that has tasked themselves with raising money to keep the pool open. So if the panels allow the pool to be open in May, beginning of May, so then we have beginning of May, or so we have all of May, and then we'll have August and September, and if they even, you know, if the pool can even be warm until October, that means there's 4 months that the community has got to raise the money to be able to pay for having that pool open, and, you know, that also determines what kind of hours the pool's open. But the panels are, in a way, a sort of a bittersweet thing. It's a wonderful gift that the Copper Queen Hospital gave to us, but it also means that we as a community need to you know, come up to that challenge to also have the pool open, as much as we would love to have it open as well to swim. Then my other question to you, Andy, is that then when does the clock start start ticking on the warranty for those panels, as well as the city sort of having this budgeting responsibility for those 2 months. How many years do we get?
So, I have to get with Bruno at HelioCore. It's my understanding that the warranty doesn't start until it's hooked up. So I haven't gotten the official hookup notice from Bruno. So as soon as I get that notice, then that's when the warranty starts.
Okay.
And I'll verify that for us.
And it's an 8-year, is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it was. Kaylin, I think it was a 7 or 8 year warranty.
Yeah, I'm thinking 8, yeah.
And, you know, that's why we went to the extra expense of having them installing it. We voided the warranty on the last ones because they weren't installed properly.
Oh, wow.
Because we did it and we screwed it up.
Shoo. Boy, that was a good thought. My other question then is, has there been any kind of MOU that has been made between the city and the Copper Queen Hospital on the donation of these panels?
No, it was an outright donation that was, you know, was made over a year ago, but no.
Okay.
No, Cato, there wasn't, because the hospital actually paid for the product directly.
Okay.
So what they did, we went to them and said, look, if you give us that much money, we have to go to bid and we've got to do it. We have this thing we have to do. For us, it's better if you make the donation. The Parks Committee and one of their members came up with the solution we want. Here it is. This is what it cost. If you'll just pay for that outright, then we'll manage the installation part of it, and, you know, and all the technical stuff. So there was no MOU because it was just paid for outright.
And there's nothing written in any kind of expectations that the Copper Queen Hospital has on the length of the time the pool is open.
No. Oh, no. There was talk about that, but there's not. I've not seen that. Yes, there was some talk about it, Cato, but nothing has been given to us.
Okay.
Nothing has been presented to us, to my knowledge, that was really a part of the gift.
Okay.
Thank you for bringing that up. I've forgotten it, Cato, but that was part of the initial conversation. You're right.
Yeah. I think that's important to know. Okay. Okay. Anything else on the panels? Okay. Next item, number 3. It is discussion on posting for lifeguards and pool manager positions. Andy, please.
So I was waiting. I'm just waiting for the friends. We're going to see how warm the water is, so this is what we're doing with lifeguards. I guess I should tell you all this. You know, I take it for granted because we already did it. So Sierra Vista has a full-on training program for lifeguards. They train more lifeguards than they can hire. And we're the personnel director, Dan Duchon, and I met with the parks and leisure directors.
You and who else? Sorry.
Dan Duchon, the personnel director.
Oh.
And as it turns out, his girlfriend is the library director in Sierra Vista, so we have kind of an in with leisure.
Okay.
So we met with them, and they have a full-on Red Cross certified training program for lifeguards. They start in March. And they will train our lifeguards less than we paid previously, and they will be full-on certified lifeguards. We can also get lifeguards if we decide to do swim lessons that can do swim lessons. This is what we'll do.
Wait a second. Say that again.
We will also be able to have lifeguards that are certified to do swim lessons if we decide to do swim lessons.
Okay, so those lifeguards they wouldn't get trained for swim lessons when they initially get trained, or they would?
Some will, some won't. We have not discussed swim lessons yet, so I didn't request it from Sierra Vista. We hadn't talked about how we were going to handle that or if we were going to do it. So what I was initially covered was just lifeguards. But
okay.
the swim lesson, that element is available to us as well.
All right,
yeah.
So they can be trained.
Yeah,
Cato, okay.
There is a little more money and a little more time involved, but that's not, it's a small, it's not a great deal of money. I believe it's going to come in under $100 per lifeguard to have them trained to be certified lifeguards and be able to do swim instruction.
And this is what the city will pay for?
That's what the city will pay for.
And you're reimbursing them at the end of the summer? Is that the end of their employment?
No.
Did you say that?
No. We're paying for it.
In other words, they don't pay up front and then get reimbursed at the end of the swim season?
Who's that?
The lifeguards.
No. the city's picking up the training cost outright. What we're doing, however, is that we have a new policy in the city, and we'll pay for the training, but if you leave before the season, you have to pay us back.
Got it.
If you stay until the end of the time that's required, and for the lifeguards, it's a very short season, but if you decide, if we're going to pay for you, then you have to stay, or we...
Good. That's
or
great...
Or we withhold that money, or,
yep.
You know...
Love it.
So we'll have a last check, and in any event, when you leave early, we'll be able to recoup our money if we need to.
All right, and when are you going to be able to start advertising?
Dan and I were talking, and we, of course, based on what we think when we want to get the pool open, we thought the 1st of March, we thought we would be able to get most of it done in 2 weeks in March.
But advertising and hiring within
yes.
the first 2 weeks of March?
Well, Cato, so the question was, I have for you guys, is when, if the water's warm and we like it, when do you guys think you would want the pool open? Would we do it on our traditional... the traditional holiday of, what is it?
May 31st?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I'm certainly not speaking for the Friends, but I think that we have discussed beginning of May if it's warm enough, correct?
I don't know. I think we always had this idea that we were being pushed into something by the hospital, too.
Mm-hmm.
And May 1st is not always that nice, so I don't know how we...
But if the water's warm.
Well, let's see what if the water, because, you know, if we're going to know by April what the water's going to be like. And if that water's warm enough and we want to go earlier, but we need about 4 weeks to get everybody hired and trained.
But don't you need to hire them by March 1st so they can get trained in March?
Well, March. When are we thinking of opening?
Well, all right, let's just say May 15th.
May 15th.
For
okay.
the sake of discussion.
So then let me tell Dan that we want to open the pool May 15th, and then we'll schedule our training and our hiring based on that date. I was waiting for the date.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
May
March
15th
1st
sounds like
would
a good
work.
Date. Let's make that our date.
Okay, but by March 1st, well, but you know, we should look at the calendar because it probably should open on a weekend. Does it matter?
Well, I'm going to tell him on or around the middle of March is when we want to open. So that means
May.
So March. So that means by the 1st of April we have to be out of the gate.
Could you post for the manager head guard ahead of time so that they could start working with you or us? I know there are a couple people that might be interested, adults.
Uh-huh. I can, Caitlin. How soon do you think?
Well, I think we were hoping that you would start posting it in February so that that person would know so that, because they're going to have to get the training.
So the pool manager doesn't have to be a lifeguard. And in fact, the pool manager in Sierra Vista is not a lifeguard.
Well, that'll be good news to some people.
or the pool manager can be a lifeguard, but the pool manager doesn't have to be a lifeguard. Sierra Vista trains more lifeguards than it can employ, so we'll just give them the date. They put out, I think she said 35, 45 lifeguards a month.
Our problem is that so many of those lifeguards are high school kids, and they really can't work after the 1st of August or before.
Well, and that's the part to remember is that some of the kids that are going to be applying are going to be from Sierra Vista. She's got 5 or 6 kids a year who don't go on. And they stay as lifeguards, and they're looking for hours all.
Uh-huh, great.
So the deal about partnering with Sierra Vista, the good news is, Caitlin, is there's enough kids there in that aquatic center. And they train, like I said, she said about 45 kids a month when they start training. Well, they only hire about 20. So one of the things I attempted to do with Sierra Vista is to regionalize this training so that Benson and Douglas can use it as well. So that we all have this giant pool of kids that can be lifeguards between our four cities, so that we can pull in from that giant pool of kids for lifeguards. And Sierra Vista will be the hub for all that because there's more kids there.
Yeah, and I think that's wonderful, but I do think it's important that we hire local kids too. You know, I think that's why people donate, because they know it's a job for a local kid.
Right, so the local kids got to show up and they got to be able to work.
Right, I agree.
I'll tell you, I've even tried this in sanitation and not had good luck. I'm not having good luck with the local kids. But the ad goes up here in Bisbee. We hire here out of Bisbee. When it falls apart, and it will towards the end of the year, then we'll have to rely on.
Right, and then this is also when we want to ask Cochise College students as well, and hopefully maybe perhaps some retiree folks. So
right.
Jane, we run into a little challenge when school starts, high school starts, because then the lifeguards could possibly work on the weekend, but then they have a lot of conflicts with games and things like that. So we really scramble, which is, I think it gives us more flexibility on who we want to hire as a pool manager. But on the other hand, if a pool manager can't lifeguard, oftentimes that's the fallback. And also, too, is that financially, that may be a position we want to have be also a lifeguard. I don't know. So, okay.
The other thing I want to do on that is I want to talk to you about on that pool lifeguard and manager positions. How do you feel about me asking, I don't want to run a snack bar at the pool. It's crazy talk. It's more than we want to do. What if...
You don't want what?
Run a snack bar at the pool.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to the store 3 days a week to buy candy bars and Gatorade. It's crazy. What if we let Project Graduation parents take it over as a fundraiser for Project Graduation, and we just stayed out of it?
Great, I think.
Peyton?
Wasn't there a gentleman who wanted to set up some sort of food cart there or something?
He brought a food cart on the weekends. Our issue seems to be in the weekdays when somehow we have a pool, we don't allow food, but people think we need to have food, sell candy at the pool.
I do like the Project Graduation.
No one's approached me, Peyton, and it was Nina's husband, and on the weekends, because he brought hot food, he bought hot dogs and stuff we can't do at the pool even if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm. All more like candy.
Yeah, because Peyton, we don't have the sink, we don't have a wash sink, so we can't bring any food in that has to be prepared. So all we can do is sell. But if Project Graduation wanted to come and sell, and this is what I would say to them. You have to staff it, man it, have the change for it. We don't do anything. And if you can't commit to it for the full summer season, then it'd be better that you didn't come. But if they want to pick it up as a fundraiser, but they have to come and they have to man it, we're not going to sell it. We're not going to make any change. We're not going to do anything for it.
And but who's going to talk to Project Graduation?
I will talk to them. If you guys think it's okay to talk to them, then I will talk with Lorena, who's on that committee. And
I think June and July... Because it's kids that want the granola bars
right.
and the Gatorade.
Right, right.
The adults aren't going to buy any of that stuff.
Right.
I believe you're absolutely right. Yeah. This is just for the kids to buy. That's just for the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the adults didn't even really want to buy a lot of Gatorade.
No.
I mean, you know, we show up pre-hydrated and we've eaten or not eaten. I mean, but yeah. It's the kids that show up and that need to have the extra fortification.
True.
So
true.
I say we let them do it and handle it. You guys are okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, we're having a discussion here. We don't have anything that we can vote on.
Yeah, and then you want me to put that pool manager position in? You're looking for me to hire that? What was the date you're thinking on that?
February 1st.
Wow.
Well,
that's like after tomorrow.
We sent you the description. That was okay, right?
Yeah, it mostly is.
Job
descriptions have to go through civil service. It takes a mayor and council to get it changed. So we're trying to figure out how to tie in the description we have with the one you gave us. There's an adoption process.
So ASAP, is that okay?
Then we just have to discuss how we're going to pay that person and how much money that eats up.
Right.
And so then the job description, you could call them pool manager, but you wouldn't necessarily have to pay them the $17 an hour that it used to be listed as. I know that was a problem. That's why we called Addie a head guard. Okay, so I don't think, there's a woman on the Friends of the Bisbee Pool Committee who is really interested in being a head guard or manager.
Okay.
So that's something that you all as the personnel manager is going to have to work out is what to call this position so that we don't get locked into it.
And I'll let him know. He's gone this week, but after this meeting, then I can let him know exactly what my direction is and what we're looking for.
Would you then chat that over with Kaylin as representative of the Friends of Bisbee Pool?
I won't do anything without talking to the Friends of the Bisbee Pool.
Okay. Does that sound good to you?
Sure. Can I ask why we need a pool manager 2 months before it opens?
Not to actually start paying them, but just so that they know they have that job and can... You know, it's kind of a big deal, especially some of the people that we're looking at who've never I don't think have managed a pool before. So,
I see. Okay.
And then we were thinking that they needed to get training, and I still think it's a good idea if they get trained, because we came up really short of guards last year, and our head guard ended up sitting there by himself for 3.5 hours, several days a week, so that the adults could swim.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely want to hit the ground running when the pool opens and have it all organized.
And
so,
like
you said, it's that they're not going to, they wouldn't start until,
I see.
I don't know, a couple weeks or something before the pool opened.
We had a big experiment last year, Jane. The pool had been managed by an outside source, and it had been managed by the city, and it had been going on for years, and it was just kind of a train wreck. So last year was the big experiment to see how little it would cost to run the pool. So we just kept it so bare bones. It just couldn't get any less expensive last year, I don't think. But we really learned a lot of lessons in running the pool. So, and you know, when I went to Sierra Vista and I was talking to the leisure people, I said, well, you know, I'm working with the Friends of the Business, talking about the pool. And at one point the guy says, well, who's running the pool? The Friends? I go, no, but you learn to negotiate when 55% of your operating money comes from outside sources. The guy goes, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, you guys, you're in Sierra Vista, you're not having to do that. But we have an outside organization of citizens that got together and they've worked this out with it. So they're not running the pool, but don't think for a minute. The reason we're doing what we're doing at the pool is because they came up with the money for me to do it. I can't tell you that the pool would have opened at all if the Friends hadn't stepped up and helped save the pool, because they literally... I just don't even know, Jane, that we would have a pool even this year if they hadn't stepped up. So if they think they want it, and I questioned it too, but if Kaylin, I mean, we learned a lot of lessons last year. Me being cheap is one of them. But if they think they need the lifeguard early, I'll get them hired.
Right, and also too is that I just want to say for the public record that the Friends provided the impetus for the community to contribute to the pool, and it's because of the contributions by the community that the pool was able to open.
Yeah.
And the Friends
helped
facilitate that to happen, but it certainly was because of the monies that the community provided.
Yeah, I don't, as I say, Cato, if they hadn't done that, I don't know that we'd have had a pool season at all.
Yeah.
I believe that drive is what pushed everybody else for us to actually get the pool open.
And so just while we're talking about that, is that, as Kaylin was saying, is that we are going to, Friends of the Bisbee Pool are going to start the fundraising effort for the pool. And the goal of this year's fundraising drive for the pool is to build up the pool fund so that we will continue to have monies for that. Gabe, there's a seat for you right up here. We have an agenda for you. Okay. Welcome.
Sorry, my dog's really sick.
Oh, dear.
Today,
well, actually, your timing is very good because we're coming up to the agenda item that I think that you, what we called the meeting for,
right,
that you wanted. Are we having any more discussions then on the pool? No, we're all set? Okay, great. So the two of you are going to then talk as you get closer to that. All right, wonderful. So now item number 4, discussion of donations for upgrades at parks. This is a sort of a broader, this is sort of a broad topic because we didn't hear from you on what to put on the agenda, so this hopefully will cover what it was that we called the meeting for. Okay. You're on.
So, Councilman Lindstrom and I, about 3 weeks ago, took a walk on the Vista, and I gave him a broad description of what our donor was considering at the park. And I'm going to start at the top by the Vista, at the top of the Vista by the big house, and work my way down. Because after Gabe, after we walked it, I went back and talked to the donor, and I looked at some other things.
Can you start from the beginning?
Yeah, I am. But I want to let you know that I've questioned some of the things we were doing based on that conversation.
Well, when you say donor, I'm not so sure everybody knows what you're talking about.
And I'm not sure that I'm at liberty to say.
Okay.
So I'm going to use some broad terms here. I have nothing in nothing's concrete yet. We have a private donor. As it said, it has to be private, or I can't release their names. But at this point, we have a commitment in theory. I have no money in my hand. I'm not going to be given a check for a large amount of money. Most of these projects will be paid for. They'll come in kit form almost and be paid for by a private donor. So I'm going to start at the big, where the gazebo is at the top of the vista. So we have several things in play for that park. We are still working with the Copper Queen Hospital to get exercise pads put in that park and to put a walking path, a pretty wide walking path, be about 12 feet wide, that would make a figure eight through that park. So we talked about these exercise pads that you would walk and then you would stop and exercise at a station. But I want to talk to them about, and I want to talk to you guys about the possibility of, instead of doing that, of possibly asking for an outdoor gym. So an outdoor gym isn't just where you walk through, you know, and do some toe leg ups, or, you know, I mean, it's an actual gym. And they actually put, you know, there's free weights and things out there, but it's not a bar with a bunch of bells on it. Everything's hinged and nailed to the ground. It's more what they would use maybe at Muscle Beach in California or in a prison yard. But it's
we know all about those places.
Yeah, so I thought I brought them up. You can Google them. What it is, one of the things we're trying to do in the parks and with these upgrades is we're trying to create experiences at our parks, right? So last year we put multiple things in parks to create experiences at those parks. So I'm really intrigued about this outdoor gym. It's really becoming very popular in the United States. The thing that's nice about the outdoor gym is that it draws younger people to a park.
Can you describe what it is again?
It's a gym. So you would have a system of gym stations like barbells, all the different things you would do in gyms with free weights, only you would do those with on stationary machines where you can adjust the weight on the machine without having loose dumbbells and things flying around. Everything is compact.
So how are you going to keep this from being vandalized?
It's the advertising for it says this. Are you ready? Even prisons can't break our equipment. So to vandalize this equipment, it's so strong, it's so durable. Okay. They're made for outdoor gyms.
Okay.
They are so durable that even convicts on prison yards can't break this machinery. And that's their claim to fame, is that they build outdoor gyms. They use huge iron. It's all the way it's balanced and the geometry of it, but they're gyms. Young people don't want to come to a gym and do, they don't want to go, I don't believe they want to go to a park and run to a station and stand on their toes on a bar and catch a drink.
Well, and I agree with you. And I think if I'm remembering what you told me before, I think is that this is in sort of one location.
Yes, an outdoor gym is in one location. It's not...
As opposed to on a path you stop here, you do so many push-ups, and over here you do so many pull-ups.
Now, the beauty of the pad is we mark out the pad so we can say the pad's great. It's used as a warm-up. It's a walking path. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's still very popular in this country is when you go to a mall in a big city, it's full of seniors who walk the mall every morning. They're the first ones out. They're not looking to exercise any more than getting up their heartbeat to walk. So that's what the path provides. But the outdoor gym might provide a better opportunity for younger people to come to that park. So that's kind of what I'm going to try and work in that direction if you guys think that's okay. Otherwise, we just go with the exercise pads. And I don't know what will get in the end. That maybe I'll get to the exercise pads. So that would be the Upper Vista.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I'm thinking about the people who are already exercising now in the gyms.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, are you familiar with, do either one of you go to indoor, anybody go to indoor gyms? No?
Sure.
Yeah. No? Okay. Because I'm kind of curious to know if any of those people would be interested in this kind of an outdoor gym. That may be a question to ask them. And I do know some people who do exercise, and I could ask them. But of course, the other idea is to get more people exercising. So
it's
not
to get some younger people to the gym.
Okay. I'm just kind of feeling like, you know, a concept is build it and they will come doesn't always necessarily work. And I'm just sort of wondering if perhaps it would be worthwhile to ask some of the younger people who your target audience, to ask them if this is something that they might be interested in and
so, Cato,
how they feel about it.
There was a survey done That's a great thing, and I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. This is the deal. I'm just going to go off some industry standards here. But I do want to tell you, there was a survey recently done. 1,400 people in Bisbee answered a survey, and they said if there was a transit system that came from Bisbee to Douglas to Sierra Vista, that they would take it 3 times a week. 5 people have ridden the bus. We're going to lose because we sent out a survey, and everybody said, we have 2 hardware stores in towns that have done 2 surveys, and everybody says overwhelmingly, we want a nursery. Nobody can make any money. We say we want it. So I didn't go to the adults. I went right to the high school and asked those kids if they would use that gym. Now, if you guys...
You did.
I went to the high school. I only asked high school kids. Do I believe for a minute that they're going to...
So you did do an informal survey at the high school.
They were interested. Well, they said, yeah, but of course they said yes. Do I believe them? I don't believe anything they said. They're all great kids.
Okay.
So I don't know how to get to the bottom of that and actually find the truth. But if I know that we have someone who is donating exercise pads, and that may be all I can get. I don't have to change that. We can take those exercise pads. I was looking for something besides exercise pads for seniors.
Okay, and exercise pads are those individual stations
along
the walking path.
Yeah, and the hospital was suggesting that we do that for older people. Now, I know 50% of our town is 55 plus, but we're not having a problem getting seniors to the pool or to our parks or the farmer's market. We're having a problem getting the kids there. Cato, I don't know if they'll really come if I build the gym, but this is what they do in other cities, and that's how they attract kids.
That would be fantastic if it happened, you know, if it was the cool thing to do.
Hang
out with your friends at the outdoor gym.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody see your muscles.
Well, the other part about this that I want to talk to you about is that, you know, the best part for now, outdoor gym may be up at the pool, because we've got the kids up there playing basketball already, the young guys, and we have the pickleball courts in the pool. Well, if I could get an outdoor gym there, we now have a rec center. Right? We have basketball, we have pickleball, we have weights, and we have a pool. So we actually have something different at that point. But I don't know that I can get the donor to put that park up there. But I just wanted to throw out a gym concept instead of the exercise stations. I don't have any of this at this point. I want you to know.
I
have nothing in my hand at this point.
Well, but you've got some great thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay.
I actually met with...
Oh my gosh, you're kidding. Really?
Woo! I was waiting for him to finish. So he actually called me because he knew I was interested, so it's hard to get him to set up, so he set up. And we met last week. And he basically said he's been trying to get Bisbee money for the last, whenever Douglas made their park down by the airport, I guess similar times they said, we're going to do one in Douglas, one in Bisbee. I guess he said, Bisbee's been so difficult to work with, they can't do it. They haven't been able to do it. He canceled our 4 meetings on me. But anyways, so he said, go look at the Douglas Park. I went and looked at the Douglas Park. It's wonderful. I mean, it's great. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but it's a nice, really nice park. And
is he giving up?
No. He said, we're trying to give money. We can't.
Okay.
We're trying to give you money. We have to use money according to their rules of whatever, their business. They have to use money. And the problem is, they don't like the Upper Vista at this stage because they want it to be handicap accessible, and there's so many hills and, you know, stuff like that. So they basically said, give us a spot.
That's accessible, handicap
accessible.
He said, give
us a spot, give us a plan, and we'll do it.
But it's got to be handicap accessible. I mean,
he
has certain criteria.
That idea.
Right, but it sounds like Bisbee already has a spot.
Well, this is the deal. You can't build it if it's not handicap accessible. So that's just rhetoric coming from anybody. So you can't build anything in America today. It's the law of the land.
Okay.
So don't let anybody pull that wool over your eyes,
Dave. But anyways, I know that they're doing a lot here at the school with the new library and the new, you know, stuff like that. I think that would be a wonderful place to start it. Get that part going with the walking path and stations there.
At the library.
At the San Jose School.
Oh, at the San Jose School.
Because they are adding a library annex there, and they want to start using that for activities. You know, they want to bring kids in through the library. They want to do stuff like that. And what better place to have a park than when you're bringing kids in for library stuff? And that was my idea. I think that would be a great place. It's already flat. It's already...
No, it's already some stuff there. But wasn't the issue that the district isn't willing to...
The area the district is willing to give us is the baseball field, and unfortunately, it's not flat. It's a hill. And it needs to be really worked if it's going to be a park, but there has to be a bigger plan than just a path around the edge of a park. And there is a park planned, and the path could work around that park, Gabe, you're absolutely right. But the only problem we had with the hospital is they came and said, we want you to build this park in 30 days. And we want you to build all the infrastructure, and we'll buy the equipment. Well, I don't have the money to build a park in 30 days.
They said they had commitments from the county to help build the park.
Then why didn't they build the park? Because we never told them no. We just said, do what you want, if that's what you want to do. So, but they did, the county said they would pay for it, but they never scheduled a date. So none of us were trying to be difficult, but we couldn't meet, we couldn't accommodate their timeline, so we went for solar heating at the pool instead. But I don't, you know, the difficulty between the city and the hospital has been ongoing for 28, 30 years as far as I know. But, you know, I want you to know we did nothing to hold that up. We've been asking for it. We just, when I say to you all, I am 16 or 18 months behind in projects, I am not pretending to be 16 or 8 months behind. I don't have a construction crew. I have to pull people off of every job in this city to get something done. So I am, right now, I am now 18, I went from 16 to 18 months behind on projects. I am just now getting to Justin Johnson's projects. He was 3 city managers ago. So I am behind. I am not pretending that I'm not behind. So in that respect, am I difficult to work with? Well, I kind of am, because I got other things right now, like paving streets are more important. But anyway, that's what we're talking about for the Upper Vista. And I don't know, if the path doesn't go there, it doesn't go there, because that money's coming from a different source. The city would take care of the paving, and then the outdoor gym or the exercise pads would come from another source, not the donor that was going to do the rest of the Vista. But that's what we were looking at the Upper Vista.
Would the hospital be willing to buy the gym, the outdoor gym?
I don't know. I didn't know that Gabe had been to talk to Mr. Dixon, because the mayor had been to talk to him too, so I'm not sure what, if there's two, if it's the same conversation or not, because I didn't ask the mayor what he had said to him. At this point, I want to put the exercise pads in. If the hospital wants to put the pads or not, we're going to do that on our dime.
Not the pads, the path.
I want to put the path in, but path. The hospital can put the pads in if they want.
Right.
But
okay.
Once the path goes in, then we'll have a walking path. And then if somebody wants to donate exercise equipment for that area, they can or they can't. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay, can I just revisit this for a minute? So you are going to put in a walking path, whatever, and the Upper Vista.
Yeah.
However, if the hospital wants to give exercise equipment, then what Gabe is interested in is seeing that exercise equipment, let's just call it for the sake of discussion, the outdoor gym, at the hospital, at the library, and he's thinking about that at the library annex over at San Jose.
That was just a thought when I...
Well, the library annex is just going to be a classroom. It's going to be a single classroom in that front row of the building. So whatever we do over there has to go back in that playground area. But we don't have enough room up front really to do anything. But we are going to take a classroom for a year.
The city?
Huh?
The city?
Yeah, through the library. We're going to take and do an outreach reading program at that library.
Okay.
for young kids. So.
Well, is there any room in the existing playground that's there to put this outdoor gym?
They've committed to us that they will let us work with the baseball field.
That's all. Okay, the baseball field.
So we have the baseball field on the back corner, which is a good place to go because we have street access to it without, you know, we can get close access and parking to it.
But so why does the area have to be, I mean, how big is this outdoor gym? What's the square footage?
Well, an outdoor gym is not big at all. It depends on how big you want them. It depends on how many stations. It can be no bigger than the area you're sitting in.
Okay.
But you can make it as big as this room if you want it.
Okay, well, let's just say,
yeah,
for the sake of discussion, that it's about the area that we're sitting in. It's like, I don't know.
Cato, I don't know.
So,
I don't have any answers for you because we don't have any commitments. So I'm not prepared to talk about any numbers because we don't have any commitments.
Okay. I guess what I'm getting at, though, is that there's still room for discussion to have the hospital exercise equipment at some other place or to have it at in San Jose.
They're really pushing for the senior center.
See, that's where I originally thought we should go because I already have a trail system there. The senior center makes perfect sense for me for the hospital's donation of this exercise pads for seniors. The trails already exist. The senior center is hugely active. And, you know, it, I mean, really, if you haven't been to the senior center, they've got all 250 members. It's the largest club in town. They are active 7 days a week, 6 hours a day. You can't even get in there sometimes. I think the senior center is the perfect place for that, to be perfectly honest. And handicap accessibility is easy to meet over there. Uh-huh. It's already a handicap accessible building. They have bathrooms. They have water faucets. I think that's the ideal place for it. I tried to get it there originally, and they wouldn't take it. That's why it went to the Upper Vista. But originally, I had suggested the senior center.
Well, it sounds to me, though,
that it's equipment.
It sounds
for the gym.
Yeah.
Senior center for the gym.
For these outdoor gyms.
I have only seen one outdoor gym. It was the most fabulous thing in the world. I mean, there were people waiting to go on it, but it wasn't either kids or senior citizens. It was young men showing off to girls.
Uh-huh.
It was fabulous.
But that's not going to happen at the senior center.
Really, really good. It was really popular. Yeah. It was always used. It was,
yeah.
I just don't see.
But that's not going to happen in the senior center.
No, because the hospital, if the hospital's talking about a walking path with exercise pads, the senior center is perfect, but we just now found that out from Gabe, so we didn't know that's what they were thinking. But I think that's a perfect place for the hospital's donation.
So
that would be the easiest, just from our discussion, I mean, not that I'm all for it, but that would be the easiest donation for them. I think it would be the quickest.
It'd be the easiest thing for me to do too, Gabe, because I don't have to develop anything. It's already almost done.
Can we still do a path around the Upper Vista, even if we don't have...
I think we should, Gabe. I still think we should have a walking path there, and we should measure it out so people can get an idea. I mean, it can be a heart rate path. But yes, I still think that path should go up there, Gabe.
I don't think it has to be 12 feet.
Well, the reason we got to go almost 12 feet is because we have to meet ADA. So you have to be able to get a wheelchair and people that are running in group. I mean, it's part of the new ADA rules. So
people cross like that.
But not the handicapped. The handicapped need enough room that you can get around them. So we
just need a wheelchair. I mean, people can walk. It's not like it's lava.
But there's, it sounds to me as there's a regulation.
There are regulations of park for pathways.
But
we have to meet the...
path is not 12 feet across.
No, it wasn't, because they didn't build it. When they built it before the new regulations for ADA came into effect. The ADA effect came into January of last year. That's when it became the law of the land. And Gabe, it's really restrictive. So I will, and our goal with ADA is to exceed the standard, not to be at the minimum standard. But the price doesn't change, and 12 feet is a car length. Really, it's about not much wider than from there to about here.
No.
That's all the wider that path would be.
That's way less than 12 feet.
It's about 12.
How far is 12 feet in car length? From that corner to where? To right here?
Right, but eyeball it?
It's two of me. I'm about six.
Yeah.
All right. So
that seems very wide.
It does.
So you've got a wheelchair and somebody pushing a wheelchair here, and you got somebody jogging or walking there.
How is that going to happen?
But anyway, we'll talk about the width.
Okay, so it sounds to me as though what we have just figured out from this discussion is that the hospital... as the senior center for this exercise paths or gym, and it sounds like a gym might be something to recommend to the hospital rather than these pads. So path and pads, this is where we get confusing. The pads are this pads are these little stations, and the path, of course, is the path, and the outdoor gym is all in one area. So it sounds to me as though having the hospital exercise monies be used at the senior center, it sounds like you like that idea because you like something for San Jose. Sounds to me that's something you'd
be interested
in discussing.
I believe that a path and pad system at the senior center, that's
what would be good.
When we originally went to the hospital with this, we recommended to them that we put it at the senior center for a path and pad system to accommodate the 250 members who are seniors at the Bisbee Senior Center.
Okay, so then it sounds to me as though perhaps your donor might be interested in providing funds for an outdoor gym at some other location so the young men can show off their muscles.
The outdoor gym was never a part of the other donor's donation.
Okay.
The outdoor gym was an option before we knew that Gabe had talked to the hospital for possibly the hospital to maybe do that, Cato.
Okay.
But I'm not going to bring up with him an outdoor gym.
Okay.
The other donor.
All right, so the outdoor gym idea is going to be at the senior center never mind.
Yeah, the path and pad system. So at this point, it looks like we may have a chance to get it in at the senior center.
Okay.
And then we're still talking about putting a figure eight path in at the Upper Vista, because right now the Upper Vista is basically useless.
Okay.
It needs to be brought into the park's inventory as a usable park and not just a feeding ground for deer in the spring.
And basically, if we could just give the hospital a plan, that's what they want.
Well, now that we know what they want, but we can develop that plan.
Excellent.
Yeah, because they had the plan for the other park, and they had accepted it. But I'm good with another one.
You didn't tell me that.
Ah, great. No, that's all right, too, but that's the way that goes. And unfortunately, all that burned up in the fire, because it was all on paper.
Wow, so this is
Let's move on to the other parks, because we're getting bound down on things we don't have.
But nonetheless, it's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
To actually think that we've got agreement between everybody on where this...
Well, especially at the hospital. So what Gabe, if it all pans out, he managed to do what nobody else has done in 28 years.
All right.
We'll take it, Gabe.
Moving down to the
Middle Vista.
Moving on. In a Middle Vista.
Before we're at midnight.
Are at Middle Vista?
Yes, now we're at the upper Middle Vista, above the tennis courts. So originally, we talked about a splash pad, and we were thinking of putting that splash pad where the volleyball court is. But now I'm thinking that we need to save the second volleyball court and move the splash pad into a dead zone in that park that really just doesn't get used. It will diminish the size of the splash pad a bit because of the construction costs. But I can still get a splash pad, save the volleyball court, and get a new playground station in that upper park.
Can you tell us what a splash pad is?
It is an area of concrete, could be 12 by 12, 15 by 15, 20 by 20. It is a concrete slab. You walk up to the slab, you push a button, and water mysteriously and fancifully just starts shooting up out of the concrete in the mid-air.
Does it come down on you at all?
It does all kinds of things. It does loops. Straight up.
But there's not a pipe up above?
Nope. It's a flat pad of concrete, only a pad of concrete. That's it. No other extremities. It has to be fenced in because it's considered a water source for livestock. And then you go on it, and there'll be a sand area around it, and you just run out there, and you push the button, and water squirts up, and you have a little water to play in the middle of a concrete pad.
And who uses it?
Well, this is for kids, so the people who use the park mostly in the summer are the Boys and Girls Club. Splash pads, kids, even the donor had an issue with splash pads, and I said to the donor, go ask somebody with kids. Don't ask grandparents about splash pads. You got to ask kids. Stop asking adults about what to put in the park. Ask kids what they want in parks. Look at the magazines. Look at what the trends are. Go to the children's park in Tucson. They have a great children's park there. And look and see what they have in that park, and that's what kids want. That's the stuff kids want to play in. Kids love water, and this is an inexpensive way for us to bring water. So, Kaylin, I don't have the exact size of the pad because we're kind of, it didn't go over well, but I'm trying to get some water on the Vista.
Now, look, is that going to be closed during the winter months, and then the water will be available when it starts getting warmer, or can people turn it on anytime they want?
You can leave it anytime you want. As long as there's not ice on it, we have to make that decision, right? If it's snowing outside and icy, we probably go shut the darn thing off because I'll blow a backflow preventer.
And is the water recirculated?
The water's treated. So the water comes up, falls onto the pad, goes back into the underground storage, and then comes back up. They actually lose less water than swimming pools.
From evaporation,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, great.
I like the idea, well, because we had talked about it, and I said, let's keep the volleyball court, remember?
Yeah, and so I'm going to, that's why. So I looked. Yeah. I went and looked at the space again, Gabe, and you know, it'll take me a little longer to dig. I may even have to rent a backhoe to get through that dirt up there. But I think, I talked to Peyton at the beginning of the meeting, and he thinks we need just a short fence around the outskirt of the park on one side to save the volleyball.
Yeah,
because what we were talking about is creating experiences. So now we got a place where you can come. You can play volleyball, your kids can go to the splash pad, or they can play in the playground equipment. We've got gazebos with barbecues. We're trying to create experiences. And then, all right, so then let's move down to the Lower Vista. And so there's a proposal on the Lower Vista. As you know, we haven't had roses for 2 years because the deer just won't give a break.
Candy store.
So we're talking about putting a 10-foot fence, more of an architectural style fence.
What does that mean?
That means that it won't just be a chain link fence. Okay, it will have architectural style columns, and it would be
decorative.
More wrought iron. Functional decorative.
Functional decorative.
Yeah. Cato, it'll look very much like the stuff that the U of A does on campus, the red brick with the concrete caps. It's kind of the cornerstone of the architecture on the U of A campus. All buildings must be red brick at one point, so all of the park entrances, all the university entrances, all the pocket park entrances have the same architectural standard. There is a square columns that are built out of red brick, and they have a cap that they put on. It's called a U of A cap. They're precast in concrete. They're really quite nice. And they've done that at the Tucson Parks has also adopted that U of A architectural landscape plan for their Rose Gardens, which I sent people up to look at the Rose Gardens in Tucson. So in the center of the Vista Park where the Rose Gardens are, now I want you to know, when the donor's completely ready, there'll be architectural renderings for all of this work.
Can I just make a request that none of the tops of the fence posts have spikes on them?
Yeah, we can make that request.
Thank you.
Although it's more fun to hang them up on it, that way they don't come back.
Right.
The deer?
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
It works well at the cemetery.
Well, unfortunately, I haven't seen a deer get...
it's a wreck when they get up there and they mangle all night long and they bleed out on a fence.
All right.
And in that area, there would be a gazebo, because what we would do is we'd tie this into the Rose Garden, so you'd come out from the farmer's market, the Rose Garden would be fenced in, you'd walk through a gazebo on either side of the gazebo in the middle of the park. There would be bocce ball courts on either side. They would also be in the fenced-in area.
If we're in bocce balls?
The donor's going to set up a bocce ball on the weekends for 2 months in the summer. He's contemplating setting up a thing where you can come and learn how to play bocce ball.
Clinic,
thank you. Couldn't figure out what the word was. So you can come and learn how to play bocce ball. Yeah, you would have, Gabe and I talked about bocce ball, and bocce ball is an odd sport. It's a low-impact sport. It's also an inexpensive sport. What we're finding throughout parks in the United States, golf courses are closing, and they're turning them into off-road parks or biking parks because, nobody wants to golf. People are running out of tennis because of the cost of tennis. So the other thing that I talked with Gabe about, and I think we should do with our money, is I want to do a Frisbee golf course from one end of the Vista all the way to the up and all the way back down. And I went to Tucson's and looked at theirs. They put those Frisbee golf course things randomly in their parks. And what I noticed up there and what they told me in parks, it's mostly kids and dogs that play Frisbee golf.
20-somethings.
Yeah, they take their dogs out and they go out and they love to run up and down with their dogs and play Frisbee golf. And again, it's inexpensive, it's not offensive looking or anything. They can go up all the way up and down that park, and it's just one more thing to draw attraction to the Vista. What's exciting to me is that we're actually going to develop a Vista after 87 years. The park hasn't been finished for 87 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. They never finished it. Mm-hmm. So we're actually talking about doing work from one end to the other. Taking 87 years to get there.
I don't think that the city has had anybody who's been so focused on parks that I can think of as you. And so you're really the catalyst of making this happen.
That was my last thing before I left, right? The other thing we're going to do in the park is we're going to upgrade the irrigation system.
Thank you.
The Victorian lights that I showed you over a year ago. I've talked with APS. We're going to be changing all the lights out, taking them out of the street and putting what's called a capital light. It's a Victorian light with a glass, shapely glass thing on the top. Well, we have them in Gore Park. And we'll be lining the walk at the park along the tree line with those Victorian street lights. And I'll get them out of the streets.
And those light bulbs, globes, are smaller than those that are in front of the Lyric Plaza. Those are rather large.
Those are the actual size that went with those fixtures. It took me a long time to find the bulb that went with those fixtures. Isn't that interesting?
It wasn't worth it.
Well, I mean, it's historically accurate. It's absolutely accurate. That's what was so interesting about those globes. And this is the part we forget about when electricity was new. When you go to the Methodist Church up by the Copper Queen Hotel, mm-hmm. The bulbs are the show. There are no light fixtures. The bulbs. Because remember, when electricity was new, people sat there and they turned on the light and they stared at that bulb for hours.
Yeah,
how in the heck does this work? Right. Just like we sit and do this, mm-hmm. they set up those light bulbs and went, you're kidding? I don't have to light a fire for light?
Yeah, yeah.
So the light fixtures became these really I mean, Cato, when I was looking into it, and I actually found the design for those lights, they were made in Poland. Uh-huh. They were cast here in the United States, but that's a Polish design.
But the ones that you have up at the City Park
are brand new, and they had a smaller fitting. They take the new, more contemporary size globe. Because originally, I put the small globes on those light fixtures. Okay. We had to make a retrofit to make it happen.
Okay.
But when we the donor who donated those light fixtures wanted them to be as close to the original as they were. Oh. So he gave me $1,000 to buy those particular light globes. But those are what they originally looked. And I thought it was comical when I saw them. But remember, the light fixture used to be the deal. So people would go and sit under a street light or a light fixture, and so they were very gaudy and big. Right. But I know they're huge, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. They look out of proportion.
Yeah, they do. That's what I thought.
Anyway, but so hopefully the ones on the Vista are not going to be.
I'm going to make them so grotesque that you throw things at me my last day. No, they're quite stunning.
And then there'll be different colors at Christmas?
Probably not. Yeah. I'm not saying no. Maybe that could do it.
No.
I don't know, Cato. That's a nice. You know, they're not hard to deal with, those lights, because they all now take just an LED screwing bulb.
That's nice. Anyway.
So they're easier to deal with than they used to be.
Okay. Yeah. So Victorian lights.
Yeah, you guys saw the pictures of the light. I showed you those pictures. Remember, they look just like the ones in Gore Park.
Okay.
I had them up on my wall in my old office for about a year.
Okay.
They were really stunning. I'll get the pictures back and show you.
So I can just look at Gore Park, though.
Yeah, Cato, and the new ones, the poles are concrete. They're not metal.
Can I ask?
Certainly.
I know how beautiful old-fashioned street lamps are. I'm anti-light. Can these be downward lights, soft, rather than... Oh my God, where's the Big Dipper? I am blinded.
Yeah, I know. That's an interesting thing about this lighting. We can control the brightness of that bulb. You know, these capital lights ended up being a problem because the whole globe... It's a really interesting point, Jane, because there's all this new studies in science and lighting. So, you know, those old lights, they used to put them on top of those poles, like around globe. Well, that's just 100% lost light. Because that light just goes nowhere. It just goes up into nowhere. So then they started putting black caps on the tops of those globes. I don't know if you've noticed this in time. They put a black cap on the... That way, they thought that would force some of the light down.
Uh-huh.
So now in these Victorian lights, where they come up and they have that beautiful glass molded shade that goes on the top, they're capping the top of those and putting a mirror inside to throw that light down. But Jane, we can absolutely control the size of the light in every one of those poles. If we don't have to put 1,000-watt bulbs, I mean, we could literally neck that light down to whatever brightness we want and almost whatever color we want. So I think we should be really, I totally agree with you. There's nothing more annoying than looking at a street light and having to turn your head when it's on, because it's just big, annoying things. The other thing about these that is going to be interesting, you guys, is the only place to put these is in the tree line. So it's going to be a very interesting dappled light.
Now, would these be turned on all the time, and even though they would just be on for events?
No, these are street lights. These come on, they're dusk to dawn. These are actually street lights.
Okay, now are they replacing existing street lights?
Yes, the existing street lights are poles that are in the street.
Okay.
The lights around the Vista are lamp poles that are in the street. It's like we're living in Mexico, and we put our street lights in the street. We didn't put them behind the curb. We put them in the actual street. So, Cato, I'm going to put them in the same places that those are. I'm going to move them up behind the curb.
I see. Okay. And so, now, is the city of Bisbee a dark skies city?
Yes, we are. That's why we have to have the capital gold with the black shade on the mirroring on the top. APS provides these, by the way. So we will meet the dark skies. That's another thing, you guys. You know, dark skies is interesting. That's why we can't put a floodlight on a flagpole. You can only light a flagpole from the down, from the top down. You can't light it from the top, from the bottom up.
Can I ask that, if we're a dark sky, can we criticize neighbors' lights?
One of our neighbors just got his taken away.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's the long and the short of it.
Okay. And is that the long short of the whole, your Vista upgrade?
Yes. That's it, Cato. That's all of it.
That's a pretty long of it. That's really quite a vision, Andy.
And Cato, all this work will start after the 4th of July.
Oh, good.
Whatever we get, we won't do anything until after the 4th of July.
All right, now.
I'm trying to, I have somebody who will possibly pay for almost all of this, yes.
All right, so now my next question is this going to be going to the public?
Yes.
Before
this all
starts?
As soon as the architectural drawings come out,
right,
and we have a presentation to give the public, then we'll start the public hearing process, yes.
Great, excellent, okay, good.
Yeah, I didn't want to go to them without the drawings and stuff. It was hard enough coming to you without drawings or architectural renderings to try to get it under. But the thing about this is last time we did this, we didn't get out soon enough, and people thought we weren't being out front. So now we're getting out front. A lot of things haven't changed, and we don't have a lot of options on things, but at least we're getting the word out sooner than later that this is coming. I thought you as a committee, we needed to get together so you could hear about it.
Well, it's imperative that we go through the public process on this.
Yes.
Because it's a big changes, and people live around the Vista, and I'm sure they'll have some things to say. But hopefully they'll all be positive.
Well, they won't be.
Constructive, you know, hopefully they'll be.
Oh, well, that's what we hope for. But, you know, I got to tell you, they're pretty territorial up there right now, and there's some people who don't want that Upper Vista touch. They don't want to ever see a car parked there. They don't want anybody in it.
And I do know that one resident who lives on the Vista did talk to me, as I mentioned before, about wanting to keep that upper area, be able to leave some wildness to it so that the birds and people can enjoy bird watching and enjoy the tranquility and the peacefulness of a wild area.
I agree with that.
It's wild.
Yeah, it is wild. Yeah.
Anyway,
that was a request that some of that upper area remain.
I'm not suggesting, I'm suggesting putting in a path, and that is it.
Okay.
I'm not suggesting anything else up there, because we talked about this and that being wild and landscaping it, how we're going to fill it all in and make it look like something besides just being horrible. So
being what?
Kind of horrible in the sense that it's just
wild.
Like an unfinished, never, not completely
nature's
thought out.
Nature's not neat.
No, I could take it if nature had gone wild up there and there were the ocotillo forest and all kinds
of
things.
You said you were going to enhance that
a lot.
Okay.
It needs a lot.
All right, so this is going to be, when you have the public presentation, it'll be really quite visual, I hope, so that people can get it, because that will help you as well as everybody to have a visual of this, because some people relate to something better with the visual. So. Okay, are we finished with that agenda item number 4? Okay, we don't have anything under old business.
Are we going to vote on the statue, or because it's not on the agenda, we can't?
No, we cannot.
That's one thing I was curious about. I don't think we ever voted on that. I think everyone agreed with it, but they were lacking some sort of document.
And you know what? I'm having it drawing a blank.
The flute player in Grassy Park.
We never actually voted on accepting that donation because they didn't have their paperwork in order or something along those lines. So not that everyone was fine.
Peyton, it just needs to go on the next agenda. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. She was lacking a piece of paper and she was going to get it to us. And I'd forgotten about it. I just went and got the footprint for the concrete pad, but I can't do any work on that till Carrie gets back next week. There's going to be a placement issue with that, so I got to talk to them about it. But we should put that on the next agenda.
So that'll be old business on the next agenda.
Yeah, right? And this was a special one, Peyton, so that's why I didn't put it on. But I'm glad you brought it up.
It's just a formality.
We got to follow through in those formalities, and you're the one that brought that to our attention originally, and that's why I talked you into getting on the committee. So we thank you for bringing that up.
Okay, so we'll do that on our next meeting. Member comments?
I'm wondering about excessive absences of members of the.
We do have something in our bylaws of that.
I think it's three.
Three unexcused.
Consecutive.
Yeah.
So we'll need to.
Consecutive.
I think it's consecutive.
Did Lucci call and say she couldn't be here?
No, she didn't call me, but she wouldn't call me.
Oh, it's getting excessive. so.
I think so.
Do we want to take action? How do we?
Members having three or more unexcused absences from regular or other scheduled meetings will be asked to resign by the chair.
Oh, so.
Yeah, not consecutive. I'll look over the minutes to see, which is, there certainly have been three or more unexcused absences. Okay. Let's have that as a discussion item at our next meeting.
Are we done with member comments?
Nope.
Oh, we're still on them.
Any other member comments? Staff comments?
I have a future items for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have one future item for discussion. It's the PAN statue to go on the agenda.
Correct.
The other one is I'm applying for a grant with Arizona State Parks. It's a grant, soup to nuts free. They come in and do trail maintenance. So I'm applying for that grant to get the Laverne Williams Arboretum Trail reestablished and remaintained. I'm also going for a grant with AmeriCorps to get the AmeriCorps crews to come out with Arizona State Parks and map, catalog, and name our trail system around Bisbee so that the future grant can be for a maintenance grant. These grants are 100% free.
Now, this is the trail system being the, you know, like the
Ridge
Trail and
yeah,
things like that?
Yeah, Cato, yeah.
Okay, I do think that that's important because there's a map that's out that talks about trails that go through private and state lands that are not.
Yeah, and Arizona Parks won't honor any map or any mapping unless the city has numbered, named, and registered those trails. So with the AmeriCorps volunteers, we can determine which are ours and which aren't and how those trails run and work.
That would be great.
And then Cato, because I don't know if you've seen the new trail, the way new trails are being cut.
Mm-hmm.
If any of you are interested in seeing a trail, in the old days, we went to a national forest. A trail was about 10, 15 feet wide. We made a line in a forest. We cut a path. Then we put rocks on either side of it. And that was the standard way the United States of America built trails in their parks. When we came to streams or something we had to climb down, we took railroad ties and we made stairs. And when we came to a river or a stream, we walked right down into it, and then we walked right up the other side out of it.
We still do.
Not in a new trail. New trails are about that wide.
Yay!
You'll love them, Gabe. And they run off of the same science that animals use when they make trails. You'll notice when you see an animal trail that there's never a washout on an animal trail. Have you noticed that? You look at our trails and parks, and there's a big flood, and the trail washes out.
You know why? It's because if you start walking on a deer trail, pretty soon it completely disappears, and it goes into a million different deer trails.
Well, the reason is because of the way that trail is cut, and there's a slough edge on that trail, where when animals walk on the edge of this trail, they make a sloughed edge. So when the water comes down the hill, the water jumps the trail and goes to the other side.
And they have 4 feet.
But the way they cut their trails is the way new trails are cut. If you'll go Karchner and look at the new trail that the AmeriCorps kids cut, you'll see what the new standards for trails in America
is.
Not Arizona State Parks won the Golden Award. They won the best maintained trail system in the United States for state parks.
All right.
So the new trail systems, I got to tell you, the best part about this is that we don't have to cut trails. We can use the trails we have and get them registered. So
that's fun.
This is going to be so great and easy for us to develop this system.
Wow.
I'm not saying I'm going to be here when it happens, but this is part of what I want you guys to really focus on is getting those trails developed in the next 2 or 3 years.
Well,
and where are those at?
Hmm?
Where are those trails?
They're all around the that side of Bisbee, you know, Zacatecas and up by the pump house, up on the ridges are all the natural trails that were cut by the deer and the mules. So that's a trail system that people use, Gabe, really frequently. We need to maintain it and make it an asset for us. Right now, they're up there, but it isn't really an asset because we can't say we have an official map from state parks and that it's maintained and it meets all these requirements. Because once you start putting in trails and you put interactive signage in, you know, which I want to do at the Laverne Williams Arboretum. Cato and I identified a huge number of plants in that little arboretum, and they need to be recognized. So Arizona State Parks, through their trail maintenance system, also does interactive mapping. So they'll map out the trail, and then they have spots where they show you different plants or animal. It's really interesting, and it's free, soup to nuts, if you get your trails and they're cataloged. So they're going to come and do Laverne Williams for free. They're sending an AmeriCorps group out to tell me what it'll cost. The grants are no more than $70,000. And when I told the guy I thought it would cost $4,000 or $5,000, he went, well, what? Nobody does a grant for $4,000 or $5,000. I go, well, I don't need any more than that unless you want to give me more. But they're going to come and look at it. And that'll be our first foray into Arizona State Parks. I went to a meeting. This is very interesting. We went to a meeting with Arizona State Parks 4 weeks ago. And Arizona State Parks has been given a direction by the governor of Arizona. They look back into their records, and they can't find in the history of Arizona State Parks where they have ever given a grant for a parkway or a pathway in southeast Arizona in the history of Arizona State Parks.
Oh, wow.
So the governor said, you can't leave all the money in Maricopa County. You got to get out to southeast Arizona.
Good.
You got to specifically get to Bisbee. So
they
came here trying to give me money, but I didn't have any paths. Oh. So the Laverne Arboretum will qualify for the first ever grant given by Arizona Parks to southeast Arizona.
You know, just as an FYI, up in Zacatecas,
yeah,
is that you have a patchwork of public, private, and state lands. So that's just something, because right now there's not a trail on public land that goes up Zacatecas to the Ridge Trail.
That's why I need those.
I mean, goes all the way up.
That's why the AmeriCorps kids have to come out and GIS map that for us. Yeah, we got to get that straight, because we got to stay off that private land.
Right.
In my opinion.
And state.
Yeah, well, the state can let us in on theirs, but that we can't.
Not if it's leased by an individual.
Oh, then we got to stay off that land. We shouldn't be up there, Cato.
Okay, anyway, so there we are. Any other future items for discussion? And I do want to say that we are going to try to get the city staff to request agenda items earlier than a day and a half that has been going on at this point. And according to city code, what's going to happen is that if you have an agenda, that you will be requested by city staff to send them your agenda items, and then those agenda items go to the chair, and then the chair then determines whether those agenda items are going to show up on the agenda. And I've just let you know at this point that I'm of the opinion that if that's something that you want to put on there, that's something that should go on. But that's the protocol that will happen, and so we are going to try to make sure that the staff gets that request to you in enough time, so that it gives you some time to respond. Okay? And so for there, we are going to adjourn the meeting. Thank you. We're adjourning the meeting at 6:55 p.m. Meeting over. Okay, that was a meeting, wasn't it?